thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Like,
here's John Williams.
Every day, 108. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We're here until 3 today.
Lord have mercy.
Back in the comfortable confines of the Allstate Showcase Studio, I might add. Thank you very much to the folks at Cork and Kerry. We were across from the ballpark yesterday for the White Sox home opener, and I really liked that place. I told Brenda when I got home, I said, we go to the games. Let's just go there an hour early and hang out there and have a beer and a bratwurst or whatever. Or, as I did, a Cobb salad.
Yeah, I saw that.
Got a lot of, like, forlorn looks when it was revealed that that was my order.
The French fries were really good there.
Fries were
nice
good.
Nice and crispy.
Burgers looked good. The wings looked good. All kinds of wings and rubs and sauces. I'll have the Cobb salad.
You totally fit in.
Yeah, I know. I tried to have my socks on yesterday, and I don't know how well I did, but I'm getting there.
You got to get a stogie.
I know.
Light one up outside.
I can't do that. I know. There's so many things I need to learn to do or appreciate, and that's baby steps. And then, you know, now that I've fallen in love with the team from the South Side, I got my heart broke yesterday because I didn't stay for the whole ball game, and then I kind of fell out of the news for a little while, and when I eventually found out what the score of the game was and how that went down, I said, that's it. I'm done with these guys. I can't take it anymore. This heartbreak is too much. Thanks to the folks at Cork and Kerry, and thanks to you if you were either visiting with us yesterday or if you were listening to our pregame coverage. And now it's just a little quieter in the studio. And in between breaths, you're able to hear your heart pound and yourself think. And this is a wonderful venue to do a radio show here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Love being there. Love being here. Got a bunch of little things for you to talk to me about. Oh, just a couple quick shout-outs before I do. Congratulations again to, or props to, our colleague Domati Pongo, whose page 2 story in today's Chicago Sun-Times is another one of their special reports about Martin Luther King and the Chicagoans who went to Memphis. Well done, Domati, and nice job, Sun-Times. Also, yesterday in the Chicago Tribune, there was a story about ketamine used as a, was it yesterday or the day before? There was a story about ketamine. It was on the front page. Ketamine is a chemical, and it is used by anesthesiologists, but it's being used to treat pain and depression. And a lot of people are catching on to this. In fact, a sponsor of ours here is called Ketamine Solutions. If you visit Ketamine Chicago, KetamineChicago.com, you'll find the website for Ketamine Solutions. And they were one of the businesses that was featured in there, one of these doctor's offices that treats people with depression and pain with something called ketamine. And I have a nephew who Monday will be back in Chicago for his third visit to Ketamine Solutions. There's your disclosure. I found out about them as they were a sponsor, told my brother about it, and he's been sending my nephew, his son, here for several weeks now. And they're trying to find the right balance, and the ketamine works for Alec for a while. I mean, it does bring his pain threshold that he lives with down. And then it starts to creep back up. So they're trying to figure out the right blend. But there's really nice, really smart people over there. And it's been effective and promising enough that they continue to come back. So best to all of them. And I'll leave it at that. So we did the Mincing Rascals podcast today because we were at the ballpark yesterday. We weren't able to do our once-a-week podcast with members of the Chicago Tribune and some of us here at WGN Radio. We did it today. And one of the things we did, which I might try and integrate on our Friday shows, is just there's at the end of the week, there's a bunch of little stories, which aren't the end of the earth, but are interesting to talk about. And it might just require only a quick gut reaction from you. For instance, the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner. President says he's not going to go. They're going to send Sarah Sanders because she's so super funny and has a great sense of humor. At least she's used to taking the abuse. So Sarah Sanders is going to go, and they're encouraging all the members of the White House staff that can go to go. But the president is not going to go. Is that a wise choice or not by Donald Trump to not attend the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner? Bertrand says,
I think if I were advising him, I'd stay away.
Violetta says...
Why not go?
Elif says...
He should go. It'd be fun. Although I don't want to hear him talk, so...
Well, it's one or the other. It's one or the other. I don't think he should go because a president should. This president should not. He doesn't have a good sense of humor. He doesn't like people making fun of him. When he gets his turn, it'll be hard to distinguish his jokes from his usual media bashing.
It's going to be vicious.
I know. So and they'll be vicious at him. Listen, when George Bush or Barack Obama were doing it, it was funny and it was playful and it had an edge, but nobody took it too seriously. Here, that's every day.
Well, the Correspondents' Dinner did prompt him to run for the White House, so he's got a good history there, right?
I think the reason he's president today is because Barack took him to task, made fun of him when he was the host of Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, and he was in the audience at the Correspondents' Dinner.
And was not laughing.
Well, he's laughing now.
Well, he does get the last laugh, so he doesn't want to go. He doesn't have to, and I think that's the smart choice. Are you interested in the story of Africa breaking into two? Kenya has a cleave that's working its way across the country. Literally, they've got this crack opening up in Kenya. And they go, we think it's the continent splitting. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen in millions of years. But you ever wonder, like, how it is that South America used to stick its nose under the armpit there of Africa? Those are my phrases. I'm not sure that's how geologists and geographers use it, but that kind of sticks right under there. Those used to be the same place, and they separated, and a zillion years later, you've got South America and you've got Africa. Well, something like that is happening right before your very eyes in Kenya right now. I'm fascinated by this story. Who's coming with me? Bertrand, you love that story on a scale of 1 to 10. Go.
2.
Violetta.
4.5.
Wow. Sorry, Elif, I don't even care now.
I was going to say 9, but fine.
Thank you for the 9.
I only watch dramas that I'm going to be around to see the ending for.
Should the woman who flipped off Donald Trump's motorcade have been fired? And should she get her job back? She's got a first-person piece in the Washington Post, both in print and as a video narrative of what happened. She was riding her bicycle along a path. Here comes the presidential motorcade. She flipped it, gave it the bird. She used that on her Facebook page. She didn't say that she was an employee of any company per se, but her company has contracts with the federal government. They fired her. She thinks that's wrong. What do you think should have happened in that case, Steve? You got an opinion about that one?
At the time, I thought that the company was within its rights to fire her. I mean, it couldn't. Her private behavior could be costing them business.
That's kind of the way I felt at the time.
But let her exercise it in court, see what happens.
Yeah, I think I'm with you completely on that. It's one of those things where, and I'll get to another subject that's like this, even though I don't think that's the way it should be, that's the way it is now, right? Like, I think your Facebook page you should be insulated from. That's your, in my estimation, private conversation that other people get to peek in on. I have the ability to make that distinction. It's a gift, really. But I've never felt that you should be punished for it. But I also think you're a fool if you think you're going to get away with it. I think you're a fool if you think you're going to get away with it. If you are flipping off the presidential motorcade and then you post that as your picture on Facebook, that may just feel like the ultimate, right? But I support you in that. But if your employer or the courts decide that you get to lose your job as a result, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you because that's the way it is now.
But what about the World Wide Web makes you feel that it's private?
I think that if I have a Facebook page and it's not John Williams at WGN Radio,
your it's personal page,
John
okay.
Williams page, and I say something about the president or even, let's leave my employer out. I say something about the president or Hillary or Moondust, whatever. If you don't like it, I think you should not read it. But I don't think...
But you should still be held accountable for saying that. Saying it on the internet is no different than saying it in real life. So.
I think you should judge me as an employee by how well I do my job and not do you agree with my personal opinion, which... until I posted it on Facebook, was nobody's business anyway. Like, if you're my boss and you don't like the fact that I don't like Moondust or Hillary or Donald Trump, then don't read my Facebook page, right? Unless I think you can prove that I'm costing you a lot of money, I don't know that I like the idea of my losing my job for it.
But if you said it in an office meeting or if you said it on Facebook, you still said it.
Yeah, but I think those are different settings, number one. Hey, listen, but I'm with you. Here's why I'm with you, Violetta. At the end of the day, Violetta's right. Even though I may have this curiously defined right in my mind, I ought to be able to get away with that. You don't. You don't. Lady, you don't. Now, the courts may decide otherwise, but I just don't have a lot of sympathy for you. Hey, who's interested in watching Chappaquiddick, which opens on Friday, the story of Ted Kennedy and Mary Jo Kopechne? You know, he's driving along. They go off the bridge. He saves himself, not her, doesn't tell the cops about it for a day. It's a terrible story. Who wants to watch that movie? It opens Friday. I say no. That's the last thing in the world I want to watch. I'm not that interested in Ted Kennedy of the Kennedys. And that story is just too tragic, and we don't know, right? So it's somebody's interpretation of what happened there. And, boy, the story of somebody drowning and then the cover-up of it, to me, is without any conclusion. Like if they said, and now you will know, okay. But otherwise, that's entertaining? No, thank you.
I had a dream last night that I was in a two-story house with a sun porch and right on the coast. And we woke up to see that the tide had come in so much that the sun porch was underwater.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Don't open the door. And then we realized the whole house was underwater. And I woke up freaking out.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the head of Chappaquiddick.
No kidding. Maybe that planted the seed. By the way, I saw Ready Player One, the new Steven Spielberg movie. It's about virtual worlds where you become an avatar and then you go play this video game. If you get three keys, you win and you get control of a zillion-dollar gaming empire.
The Oasis.
Much of the world. You saw the movie, did you?
No, I saw the trailer.
Yeah. What did you think of the movie based on the trailer? Are you interested? Did it look promising to you?
I liked the movie idea, but it just seemed like a lot of fighting scenes or like, you know, them running around scenes from the trailer and not a lot of content of like saving the internet from being taken over by the government, which I would have liked.
I think that read of the trailer is good. My review of the movie, and I can do it in 40 seconds. Dow has been taking another tanker today. Elif, how's the Dow doing?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 582.69 points at 23,922.53 points, John.
Okay, we're below 24. It goes up and down. We could finish even for the day. Who knows? But the trend since Steve was on, when you were doing the business lunch, Steve, I think the Dow was down about 300. And now we're down 600. So we'll see. Hey, I went and saw that economic collapse, whatever. Let me tell you about a movie. So we saw Ready Player One, the new Steven Spielberg movie, based on the trailers, which I don't think I've seen. Violetta said it just looked like way too much, you know, zooming around, fighting, shooting, that sort of thing. And it is. The special effects, the fact that you can be an avatar and then go fight in this virtual world, monsters, or be a monster, or be in a race car and zooming along, and it feels to these people very real. In fact, there's a part in the movie when one of the characters doesn't know if he's in the real world or the virtual world. So it's kind of clever that way. And the idea is that whoever in the world solves the three puzzles in this virtual world, then they get controlling interest of a company, something like that. And the consequences are a little graver than that. But here's the point. It's 2 hours long, and it doesn't give you a break. It's sensory overload.
Now, so it was like the Dunkirk of the future?
Don't get me started on Dunkirk. But I did have some of the same problems in that I was having trouble understanding what some of the characters were saying. One of them was speaking like this. He was a hulking kind of monstrous thing. But it was just like, give me a break.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been... I haven't seen it, but from what you're saying, it sounds like I like the concept, you know, the good versus evil, the utopian world. Can we get there? You know, those society questions
I love,
that we're facing with internet.
It was less about that than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. And I'm not a gamer. So if you're one of those people that plays the games and you're really into that, this may be the movie for you, but you're going to probably be a lot younger than me. The curiosity is that for that younger crowd, woven throughout the movie are a bunch of 1980s references, right? It's kind of like a pop culture
montage.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know that the gamers are into 1980s stuff. Are they really into The Shining or Back to the Future the way those of us who are in our 50s, 60s are? I don't know. But that's just kind of the mashup you've got in this movie. 23 jujubes is what we rate things at my house on a scale of 1 to 23 jujubes. 23 is the highest rating you can get if you're at my house. And it's getting 15s and 16s. So that is what that is. It's 127. One other question that I've been asking you just some, you know, rapid fire questions here, up or down, yes or no. What do we all think of what's happening at Main West? Someday in our lifetime,
I need to laugh.
What is the average high temperature for this day? Do you know, Steve? What's the average high? I'll bet it's 50. Aleph, after you do the Dow, look up what is the average high temperature for first week and second week of April.
Yes, John.
Good day, sunshine.
By the way, we continue to watch the Dow. Kill the music and give us the good news there, Elif. Where are we on the Dow right now?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 643.44 points, John, at 23,861.78.
We're below 23.9. Now we're below 23.8 at 643, off 643.
The Dow is down 2.63%, John.
2.63. Okay. It's just the way it's going to be these days until we figure out how real all of this trade talk bluster is and until the president decides some other shiny object is more interesting to him than bringing down one of the biggest companies in the world. It's just going to be like this. We're just going to be up and down and up and down and up and down and more down last couple weeks than up. By the way, you know that one last thing you do. Oh, Elif, what is the average temperature for today, please?
The average, John, is 56 and 43, a high of 56 and a low of 43.
56, yeah. Well, the parade of good news just keeps coming here, doesn't it? I'm sorry I asked. I just want to go back. Thank you, Elif. I just want to go back for a second to the Washington Post first-person piece that was posted today by that lady, Julie Briskman. She's the public relations person who was riding her bicycle when the presidential motorcade comes by. She flips them off, puts it on Facebook, the picture of it, and then she loses her job. She is suing now to get her job back, or maybe some money. But she says, here's how that all happened. I just think it's important to remember how this all went down. She's riding her bicycle, and here comes the presidential motorcade, and she flips the bird. She writes, a wire service photographer covering Trump captured the gesture, and a Voice of America reporter then posted that photo online. It went viral. The next evening, I used the photo as a background picture on my personal Facebook and Twitter accounts, neither of which mentioned where I worked. But after the weekend, I did let my employer, Acuma, know. Acuma's the company. I let my employer, Acuma, know that I was the cyclist in that picture, while acknowledging that the First Amendment protected my right to extend my middle finger. My boss told me that, quote, corporate protection, quote unquote, dictated that he terminate me on the grounds of a social media policy that prohibits obscene or inappropriate content. Acuma does business with the government, and the company executives obviously feared that the Trump administration would unconstitutionally penalize my employer for my gesture. So that Tuesday, they forced me out. She writes, the First Amendment bars retaliation against me by President Trump. She also says, a private employer cannot suppress my freedom of expression on my own time out of fear of illegal government retaliation without violating Virginia's employment law. Well, that's her view. We'll see how that goes down. But that's just the latest on that story. So page one of today's Chicago Tribune is the picture of the Maine West High School ceremony, I guess is the only way to put it. It's a pep assembly. Whole bunch of kids are all screaming, yay, cheers. In fact, we have the audio of the pep assembly. Here's what it sounded like at Maine West. One of the proudest traditions here at Maine West. Your warrior. Kid comes out, does the dance. Kind of an Indian style dance, whatever that means. And the kids are stomping their feet and clapping their hands and cheering. And the dance is really well done. The kid does a nice job of it. And at the end of the ceremony, he then hands the headrest to another kid, and then they both march off together. The real big cheers are when he runs over to a section of the bleachers and sort of swoops his hands up as though, let me hear you. And there's just nothing but positivity and pride and excitement that takes place during that ceremony. But that video's gone viral this week. And now the superintendent said that they're going to re-examine the use of the mascot. I cannot believe that in 2018 that is still happening. I am not offended by that, but I just know the way the wind is blowing, and I can't believe that somebody is still doing that. If you asked me, hey, John, are you okay with this? I don't love either decision that I would be forced to make, but I think I would let you. But what would I do if I were the superintendent? That's me in a vacuum. Here in the real world, as the superintendent of the school, I'm like, oh, guys, no, you can't do that, no.
But doesn't the mascot honor?
He does.
It's a form of pride, not insulting anyone.
We've been having this argument in Illinois since Chief Illini Wick was born, and it's just, it has been decided against your best intentions that that is offensive, and it's not a fight worth winning. It's not a fight worth fighting. It's not the American flag. It's a high school mascot. I would just say, listen, we got bigger fish to fry than this. I would not try and win that battle, because you can't, number one. And number two, because it's not as important as the other things that you will need. So I would not fight that fight. That'll make you a very unpopular principal, athletic director, superintendent. And the kids will be outraged and they'll protest and they'll say things like that. But that's not the way the wind's blowing on this one.
Also, I don't think kids really care what their mascot is.
Well, don't you get the feeling these kids really like their mascot?
Well, I think it's because it's a pep rally and they're coming out to entertain or to, you know, pep everyone up. But my high school mascot was a bandit, kind of looked like a raccoon. And I don't really know what the point of that was.
Well, there you go. We were talking to Scott Stannis today. His school mascot was the Regents. They were the Regents.
What's that?
I don't know. But it doesn't sound... Isn't a regent an administrator?
Yes.
Go administrators. So I could see why you wouldn't get behind the Regents. Or the apple knockers. Or
right.
Whatever. There's some that lend themselves, you know, go Panthers.
It used to be the Hoopston corn jerkers.
I
don't know if they still
are. The Freeport pretzels, right?
Right. So I mean, regardless of what was running out, they were going to cheer.
The Centralia orphans. I think it's the orphans of Centralia. So some of them lend themselves more. So what's the point about this here, V? So we're walking down the road of odd mascots. But I do think that they're trying to honor the sort of Native American heritage here. They're not making fun of their mascot. They love their mascot. We're
right.
The warriors.
But they would love their mascot even if it was a pretzel or if it was the wind or if it was the UIC Flames.
I would like to see the audio of a Freeport pretzel rally and compare it to that of the Panthers or the Cougars or the Warriors. Warriors, a great name. I mean, as a fighting team, that's a great name.
Used to be, you know.
Yeah, but now you can't do it.
Well, can't you be a warrior and have like a shield instead of the Native American? Or
like a Roman warrior, like one of those guys come out with the sandals and like the Trojans. The Trojans will do that.
Well, I guess that's offensive too.
I know, but you can't do Trojans anymore either.
You can only be the actual armor. You can't be the person.
Here's the deal. If I were an adult at that pep rally, forget the kids for a second because they're new here. If I were an adult at that pep rally, I would be super uncomfortable. I would be just like, oh, no, this is not going to end well. We've got a problem here, and I can't fix it right now, but this is a problem. I get squeamish at a lot of things. But I would sense the impropriety of all of that. And I'm asking you what your reaction, if you were this teacher or parent who's visiting there at the rally, and you saw that, what would your reaction be? My number is 312-981-7200. I know it's not a new conversation. I guess the newness of this is that we're still having this conversation. And I am not knocking Maine West or the kids. I know their heart's in the right place. But if they asked me for some advice, I would say, kids, you came to this battle too late and you're going to lose. I'm John Williams. Andrea's on line one. Hey, Andrea, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. I didn't see the video that you talked about, but I'm a U of I grad and my daughter went to U of I. My son's about to go to U of I. I have mourned the chief for so many years. I always felt like it was such a respectful, representation. And, I just didn't get.
Oh, shoot. She just clicked out. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you in that boat are feeling the same way all over again. And I my feelings about this are no different than they were then. I get it. I'm on your side, but that ain't going to fix the problem you have. And it's only worse now. I think the job of defending Chief Illini Wick or the Maine West Warriors is only more hopeless now. You will not win that fight. Thanks for the call. Hey, Barry, you're on the air. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi. I think the reason you're seeing such opposition and the reason so many people are quote-unquote offended, as you say, is because consciousness is raised regarding the history of our country. If that were an African-American in chains doing a Native dance in front of the people, I think we'd understand why it was wrong. If it was a Hasidic Jew doing some exaggeration of a Jewish dance in front of the people, you'd understand why that was wrong. And it is inherently wrong to be caricaturing another person's heritage, particularly with the way the Native Americans have been disrespected in our country. And I wish you would have a representative of the Native American community on to discuss why that is wrong with you, because I'm not the best conduit for that.
No, I think you've made your point well, though. I really appreciate it, Barry. And, it's funny, too, isn't it? Because who can argue with what Barry just said? But it's weird because we do allow some appropriations and then some we don't.
Like I said, I went to Bishop McNamara, the home of the Fighting Irish.
And I was just thinking of that.
Had it not been for Conor McGregor this week, we might have lost that. But
you get a little fighting leprechaun guy out there, and everybody cheers it on, and that seems to be okay.
Gives us a little protection,
and
see?
And in some schools, Indians and warriors are still honored, and in other instances, they're not. And then clearly there's some, like he described, that are beyond the pale. How who's keeping score and how that's happening, I don't know. I just know the direction the wind's blowing. Thanks, Barry.
You ever talk to your kids and like, I know you're right. I know you've got some good points.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's over.
It's the mortgage rule, Steve. That's the mortgage rule. And it only works for a while. But you just, when your kids go, yeah, but we like the mascot. Or, but I want to have the car. All the kids are doing it. You go, well, let's get out the mortgage. I found the mortgage, kids. Ha, look at that. The bank signed it. Your mom signed it. I signed it. Your name's not on here. And then the conversation's over. The kids love that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Mary, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. I'm a 1965 graduate of Maine West. And the warrior has always been our symbol, and it's always been treated with the greatest of respect.
Yeah.
We have a statue, at least we had, a statue of the warrior that one of the students carved, and it was beautiful. And I don't see why, you know, what's the difference between the Blackhawks having their Indian as a symbol and a respectful warrior at Maine West?
I don't know the answer to that question. I told you a moment ago, I'm a bad arbiter of these things. There is still a team called the Washington Redskins, and there's still a team called the Atlanta Braves. I can't figure it out either. Mary, thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you joined us. Hey, Don, you're on the air. You're on WGN. Hi, Don.
Hi, John. I'm allowing you to knock off two birds with one stone here because I'm actually a Freeport pretzel. So you've got the opportunity here to
Was the cheer? Go pretzels or salt'em, well, salt'em, dunk'em in mustard?
When I dip, you dip.
Several.
I think it's time up in knots.
Well, that's one of them, but there has been one recently that you can eat us, but you can't beat us.
Oh.
I wouldn't want that one.
I know it.
Cheer. We're good with beer. Yeah. Go pretzels. Sorry.
That's not a bad one. I like that. But I work for a radio station in Freeport, and I broadcast Freeport pretzel games. And it's kind of interesting as I go around to these different schools with mascot names like Indians and Warriors, and you don't see any of the negativism as far as thinking that's wrong. And I don't think it's wrong. I think it's great when people stand up for their mascot. And, John, I like your comment about it's not the way the wind's blowing, because you're exactly right. It's not blowing that way. But our country is made up of people facing the wind and walking the other way and coming up with arguments and coming up with stances they feel is right. And walking against the wind is not always a bad thing.
Hmm. What a great call. What radio station are you on over there, Don?
Big Radio is our name, John. We have a group of 8 radio stations in Freeport and Beloit, Janesville, and in Monroe, Wisconsin.
I was just going to say, stay there, man.
Yeah, I know.
Don't even think about it.
Listen, you're way too good for this radio station. I don't want you calling here anymore.
I came in once years ago, and I was trying to get into the bigger market. I actually came in and met with Dave Ennett there in the building, and I had a chance to talk with him, kind of pick his brain a little bit. I was trying for decades to try to find a way into the bigger market, and I'm still looking.
Well, I spent a lot of time in Peoria, and those were good years. You know, the problem with you is you don't have a very good voice, and you're not able to convey your thoughts fluidly.
He doesn't seem reasonable at all.
There's no hope for you.
But I'll tell you what, I've also got the same arguments and the same discussions with my kids as you did, too, about everything you're talking about. Yeah. So I can understand all that. And I've got two kids that are U of I grads, and they are big Illini fans. And they were my oldest son, Ryan, was right there, right in the middle of that Chief Illini Wick controversy when they were trying to take it down. And I mean to tell you, the student body was really a big part of that. And it was kind of interesting to watch it from both the inside and the outside.
Don is the voice of the Freeport Pretzels. All right. Call anytime, Don.
Enjoy your guys' show and your station over the decades.
Yeah, well, you just upped our game.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
What I do.
Here's John Williams.
Doesn't always work out, though, I'll tell you. It's 207. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Folks dressed like they're going to a Northwestern football game on Michigan Avenue, not a baseball game. And because of the pending weather, Steve, Monday's White Sox game now has a new time. Monday, White Sox in town. Unfortunately, this is the town where it snowed hard for the home opener. A half hour from now, the bright side, you'll call in, give us some good news. You'll tell us why you are smiling, and we will smile with you. My bright side's going to be the Dilly Dilly commercials, which continue to make me enjoy the commercials. I don't know that it's made me enjoy Bud Light more, but I've been enjoying that commercial campaign. I saw another story about it today and how at the Masters they said anybody that says Dilly Dilly will be thrown out. If you say Dilly Dilly while watching the Masters, if you're in the gallery there, they toss you out of the golf course. You could say screw you, I guess. I mean, I know they have a list. I haven't seen the full list, but that Dilly Dilly is on the list to me. Really makes you want to say Dilly Dilly, doesn't it?
I hope the person who came up with that slogan, man, that is just taken off.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's I don't know how it worked, but man, it was brilliant.
And granted, it's a beer company, so I think there's a lot of leeway to be playful there. But I just love that a big corporation with millions and millions of dollars at stake, and somebody goes in and goes, I know, let's have some people dressed up like in old-time fighting garb, you know, like knights and all that, and they'll say dilly dilly, and then that'll be the commercial.
I mean, I was hearing people say dilly dilly and having no idea before I even knew where it was from, right?
Yeah, right. Truly. And I mean, that they green light that. That they go, okay, dilly dilly. That's a good idea. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
I think, though, it came from Game of Thrones fans.
It looks very Game of Thrones-ish.
I mean, they knew there was a big audience for that. It was really, really popular.
Well, maybe, but it's also very Monty Python-ish. And
it's as much that as it is that. But, I mean, that's the scene. But, I mean, I don't care what's in the water.
Like, right.
If Monty Python or Game of Thrones is big.
It could be Great White Shark saying dilly dilly.
They don't say dilly dilly on Game of Thrones. But then a guy goes, okay, but then let's have him say dilly dilly. Thumbs up, right? Right, boss? Okay. When they said, yep, okay, let's go with it, they must have looked at each other and went, oh, crap, now this had better work because this is a really stupid idea. I'm Jason Nathanson joins us now, Steve. So I'm just going to ask you real quick as I do it. The Dow is currently at...
Let me just check here, Johnny boy.
And Elif is looking into...
Down 702.
702.
Which is 2.8%. So it's off the low for the day. I saw it as low as like 736, I think, and even 3% drop.
Here's how bad it is. You just said it's off 702, and I went, whew, okay.
Right.
Okay, down 702. All about a possible trade war with China. It's 211 on WGN. That will be there. Let's take our mind off it for a second and talk to Jason Nathanson, who writes and reports about the entertainment scene for ABC News. Jason, it's John. You're back on WGN. How are you?
Well, now that the Dow's down only 702 points, I'm fine. 736, that got me worried.
I was on the ledge at 730, but 702, I don't have a care in the world.
Going into the weekend, feeling very positive.
All right, I want to just throw a couple things at you here. You ready, Jason?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, we started the show just kicking a couple of things around. One of them was the very notion of Chappaquiddick, which opens as a major motion picture release in theaters tonight. Who thought that America was itching to see a movie about that?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting story in our nation's history that a lot of people probably don't know, especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, if it had happened in this day and age, could you imagine with the type of media coverage we have now? For something like this, for a senator who sat for so long from one of this country's major political families, to have been involved in something like this where a woman died, I mean, you know, it would be all over the place today. And this was something that was kind of hushed and, you know, kept quiet. So I think it's something that somebody found. Certainly there's dramatic, it's a dramatic story that somebody found, hey, you know, maybe this could be good for the big screen.
Boy, if you think about it, the Kennedys were able to get away with stuff that you would not get away with today. The current administration notwithstanding, that's turning everything upside down. But in a world of social media and hyper-partisan platforms, the Kennedys should thank their lucky stars that however unfortunate their lives have been, they were spared this sort of scrutiny that they would be getting today.
Absolutely. I mean, and there's been, you know, certainly whispers and rumors about all the things going on from, you know, the women going in and out of the Oval Office to, you know, whatever happened and all sorts of things. But, you know, that was a different time. That was a different era. And it was rampant with everybody, Republicans, Democrats, yeah, men, women, you name it. It was going on, but it wasn't something that was spotlighted and highlighted as it is today and used for partisan purposes. I think there was almost a, you know, some kind of sick gentleman's agreement back then is, you know, I'm not going to expose you because then you can expose me and we're both doing the same kind of dirty things. So let's just, you know, keep it to the back rooms and the smoke-filled clubs. These days, you know, everything comes out eventually. So
did you like this movie?
I have not seen Chappaquiddick.
No.
Of the three that opened this weekend, I saw Blockers, which is the R-rated comedy. So Chappaquiddick is not going to make a whole lot of money this weekend. It's getting good reviews, though. So if that's something, you know, a time in history you want to learn about or see about, and, you know, I always caution with these historical or quote-unquote historical movies, they take poetic license with a lot of it. So you're going to watch it and think you know the history behind it, but really, they make a lot of stuff up.
What did you think of Blockers?
Blockers is funny. This is the R-rated comedy about a group of parents who are trying to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night. It's one of those kind of, if you remember the R-rated comedies, the teenage R-rated comedies of the 80s, like Porky's and Meatballs and, you know, all those kinds of things. This kind of is a little bit of that mixed with Superbad and
American Pie, yeah.
Exactly. But with girls at the center of it instead of guys, and usually it's guys. This time it's girls, teenage girls talking about sex, and there's parts of it that are very, very funny. It's as a whole, maybe not as funny as I want it to be. It's a little sappy in places. They get emotional, which is fine. I don't, there's sometimes they do that right, and sometimes they do it wrong. I liked it, but I don't know that you need to rush out to theaters to see it.
It's getting 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. Also opening this weekend is Solo, a Star Wars movie.
No. That's not opening this weekend. That's the big Star Wars movie that's going to come out next month. The story today is that they just announced that it's going to premiere at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah.
Yes, that's going to be a huge premiere when that happens. Highly anticipated. Everybody wants to see this, and everybody's wondering, basically, bottom line, is it good? Because they fired the original directors, about three-quarters of the way through it, replaced them with Ron Howard, who had to do a bunch of reshoots and things like that. So, people are wondering, was it that bad that they needed, and could Ron Howard actually fix it? So we'll find out. The first reviews will come out of the Cannes Film Festival.
I got it. A Quiet Place. I've heard a lot about this, and the critics I'm reading and hearing about generally are giving it pretty good reviews. I thought the premise was so crazy that it just couldn't be a good movie, but maybe there's hope for this one, huh?
Yeah, it's actually getting great reviews, and of all the movies opening this weekend, I'm actually going to spend my own money to go see this one tonight, which is a rare thing, because of my job, I get invited to see a lot of these for free. But this one, I didn't get a chance to see it ahead of time. It looks really good. I have a lot of friends who are excited about it. This is John Krasinski from The Office. He co-wrote, he directed, and he stars in it with his wife, Emily Blunt. They're both in this, and it's a horror film about a family who's forced to live in silence because they live in a world where creatures, when they hear sound, they hunt you. So they have to be quiet. So it's basically a silent film, a horror film that's a silent film. And I'm kind of with you. Like, that doesn't sound appealing to me for 2 hours, necessarily, but apparently it's very good, and the way they do it, inventive, creative, and scary.
I guess she gives birth at some scene in the movie. I was watching a story about it, and that means, ladies, you have to bear that child without making so much as a peep, or the monster will get you and the kid. And I guess that's a pretty chilling scene, but I'm thinking, wait a minute, what? The world has these monsters, and if they hear you, they eat you, and so you're playing Monopoly on the rug so that the dice don't make any sound. Like, that's otherwise we're fine. That's okay if you have mice. It's not okay if you have monsters that will eat you. So it's just too preposterous for me.
Well, but it's those movies, especially when I feel the same as you. It doesn't sound like it sounds like something crazy, but when a lot of people are saying this is actually really good, I'll go see it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I haven't seen it, so so I'll have to report back to you on that as well. I did, by the way, go see, we saw the new Steven Spielberg movie last night, and I don't know if you've seen that, Jason. Are you still there? Yeah, he just clicked out too. That's two times today that somebody was listening to me and suddenly the phone went dead. I'm going to try and not take that personally. Jason, are you still there? He is not. It's 2:18 on WGN. Jason is the entertainment reporter for ABC, or at least he was. I don't know, maybe he just got fired. I'm not real sure what happened there. We'll take a break. If he's around, we'll finish this conversation. If not, I also have questions about what is going on with the market today. We're continuing to follow that all the way until it closes in about 50 minutes. Hey, Jason connected with us again. Let's wrap this conversation up. I wanted to ask you about just a couple more movies real quick, if you got a minute, Jason. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jason Nathanson, the entertainment reporter for ABC. I saw Ready Player One. I was disappointed. In general, what was your take on the new Spielberg movie?
Yeah, I would share your disappointment. I went into it, and this is one of the things that's kind of, you go into it maybe with a over-expectations, a sense of hype going into it. I love Spielberg. I love when he, especially when he returns to this kind of big blockbuster, kind of steeped in nostalgia type thing. I thought that would be something that would be interesting for me. I'm not really a video game kind of guy, though, so that wasn't that interesting. But it was, I don't know, kind of formulaic, a little by the numbers. It didn't really speak to me as anything inventive. It looked pretty cool with all the virtual reality and stuff like that, but that wasn't enough for me. I didn't find that it had the heart that I expected from a Steven Spielberg movie.
And at the very end, they sort of you know, moralize a little bit about how much more important it is that we live in our real world rather than in our virtual world, our games, our phones, our devices. Or say if you had a virtual world device where you could actually develop an avatar and not actually participate in the real world. And so they moralize a little bit about it at the end. And I thought they didn't do that well either. I thought that was kind of pointless.
Yeah, I don't know, pointless or not. Any time this generation is exposed to that kind of moralizing when it says live in the real world and get off the screen, I'm okay with that. As somebody who lives in screens for most of my life, you know, but that's my job. But I get very old manish when it comes to something like this,
because
see kids buried in screens too much, and I feel like it's a huge problem. So anytime you have a movie where kids might be seeing it and you have that message at the end, I'm okay with it. Even if it didn't resonate with me, hopefully maybe a little bit resonated with some of them.
Even if their hope is that you only stay off the screen for 2 days a week. Amy Schumer is refusing to do interviews with Sinclair TV stations to promote her new movie. I guess that's just backlash from that video montage that went out, huh?
Yeah, this is at least one station, WJLA in Washington, D.C., which is an ABC affiliate. She said, you know, she's in the middle of a press tour for her new movie, I Feel Pretty. And when you do that, you do hundreds of interviews with different people. You don't know who most of them are. And usually it's a round-robin type thing where it's just interview after interview after interview. But apparently the WJLA was supposed to do an interview, and Schumer said, no, I don't want to do an interview with them because they are Sinclair, who has come under fire for, you know, their conservative views, seemingly forcing anchors to read things about quote-unquote fake news and things like that in that montage that came out. That was very, you know, a very striking montage. And Schumer, of course, is a very outspoken advocate when it comes to gun control reform and things like that. So she said no, and it's interesting to see if that's going to start a trend, if other actors will follow, because, I mean, we're in these press junkets, you know, 90% of the year there's a press junket going on. And if stars start saying no, Sinclair is the largest owner of TV stations around the country, that'll be an interesting battle.
I sure hope that the Roseanne TV show each week doesn't get broken down into what she said, and then we use that as some sort of measuring stick against Donald Trump or her. I'd like to see that show exist on its own merit. They say they're not going to be political in every episode, but then if she says anything that is, you know, current, they say, aha, she said that, and therefore we should or shouldn't watch the show. You know what I mean?
Well, Tuesday's episode wasn't political overtly in the sense of it had nothing to do with Republicans versus Democrats, but it did break down on political lines, conservative versus liberal, when it came to spanking and certain views and things like that. And unfortunately, every episode is going to get broken down line by line into what she said, what she tweeted that day or didn't tweet. You know, last Friday she went on a Twitter rant. And so if she keeps doing that and putting herself in the news, then that's going to be a part of the whole discussion. And unfortunately, overshadow what was supposed to be the original intent of the series, which was to bring people together.
That's interesting. So as much as I hope that for the show, she's got to stay out of the political realm herself a little bit. Stop being Roseanne Barr and be Roseanne Connors or whatever it is.
Well, I don't know. Some would say that the added attention to her and scrutiny of her, any kind of stuff like that, helps ratings. It keeps the show in the news, and it galvanizes maybe the forces on the right to, you know, want to sit down and watch it in order to support her, to support the president, to support these views that they're not seeing as much on TV. We've seen that maybe perhaps when it came to football and the kneeling controversy and people tuning out. And we saw that when it came to the polls and people going to the polls, defying a lot of logic or a lot of the pollsters when it came to electing President Trump. So the more she talks and the more she tweets, I think the better it probably is for the show, but the bigger headache it is for executives at ABC.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to happen now. I mean, we already do that with our news networks. You watch Fox, I'll watch, you know, MSNBC. You watch the NFL, and I won't watch the NFL because I don't agree with the politics behind it now. I wonder if that's going to happen with entertainment programming. I'm not going to watch that show, and you will, because of the politics.
Well, I think for a long time it's been, I'm not going to watch that show. I'm going to tune out of the Oscars, the Emmys, the late night shows, Will and Grace, etc., because they are politically bent to the left. And there hasn't been a place necessarily for more conservative
yeah,
viewers to go.
It's that's a good point.
Fox News, now you have Roseanne.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, nice to talk to you, Nathan. Nathan, we'll visit with you again. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good.
I just called him Nathan. I've got two things in my ear at the same time. That's Jason Nathanson. I asked Paul LaMonica to jump in here with us. He is on the digital side over at CNN Money. He covers markets and money. Paul, it's getting better. We're only down 5+ right now.
Exactly, yes. What's there to be worried about when you're only down 570 points as opposed to more than 700? Of course, being a little sarcastic there. But I think the market is definitely worried about these increased possibility of trade tensions between the U.S. and China. It's a lot of bluster right now, but clearly of concern if you do wind up having the two world's largest economies getting involved in this kind of tit-for-tat sort of tariff trade war. None of it is going to really happen anytime soon, but President Trump is obviously continuing to tweet and talk as if he's going to act very tough on China.
If it doesn't happen, though, if we resolve this, do you think we'll recover the 1,200-1,500 points we've given up?
It may take some time, but I think there's a good chance of it that the market will eventually climb back. We do have a lot of major corporations about to start to report their latest quarterly results in the next few weeks, and they should be pretty good. And the economy is still in pretty solid shape. The big question, really, John, is are these tariffs, if they do in fact take place, will that wind up hurting growth and offsetting any of the benefits that we might otherwise be getting from the lower corporate taxes and lower individual taxes that some people will be benefiting from as well?
Well, you're getting to what I was wondering about. I mean, if the fundamentals are there and we're able to resolve this without going to a full DEFCON 4, then maybe, the economy will out, the market will recover. I mean, generally, things are pretty good, right?
Yeah, that is true. I think, the strange thing is if you take away all this noise about what is going on with the possibility of, tougher trade with China, you have, if anything, an economy that's done really well for almost a decade now for a lot of people, including the new head of the Federal Reserve. The risks might be more that you could have the economy start to look a little bit too hot. The Fed will have to raise rates more aggressively than people would like, including probably President Trump. And when that happens, you often get the market cooling off, the economy cooling off. It's all healthy. We don't want things going up and up forever unchecked, because that leads to a 2007 type of scenario where the bubble bursts spectacularly, and we don't want that. So I think right now the Fed is in a tough spot. They're trying to kind of keep things in check. Right now it's almost fortunate that you have this trade tariff issue going on, because it probably allows the Fed to not have to raise rates all that aggressively.
One last question for Paul LaMonica. We were talking about this off the air today, and I just wonder what your reaction to it is. We were all wondering, okay, if it's who can hold their breath the longest, the United States and China, they have a higher tolerance for pain or self-inflicted wounds than we do. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but I can just see where here in this country, we feel like the government would be responsive to us. There, maybe they don't care. Do you have anything to say about all of that?
I think it's a valid point. I mean, I think the Chinese government has taken a lot of steps to be a little bit more open and less restrictive than they have, the past couple of decades. But that being said, you still don't have a truly free and open economy and one where elections matter as much as they do here. So I think that the tolerance for pain in China probably is a bit higher than it would be here. But, you know, the counter is that we have an unconventional president who may or may not want to run again in 2020, may or may not even care about any damage he does to his own party, because we have seen in the past where President Trump has taken and made moves that have put him more in, at odds with Republican leaders and, have been more along the lines of what you would expect from a Democrat. So it's hard to predict anything that's going to be coming out of the White House.
Right, that's the truth. We're down 590. We were down over 700. So it's going in that direction as we're moments away from the close. I appreciate your time. We were just kind of curious last minute here. Paul, I appreciate you jumping in and giving us some of your thoughts.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend. Appreciate
it. Paul LaMonica over at CNNMoney.com. 2:45. Friday's here. Here comes your weekend. Roanne and the gang are out at the United Center. You going to the Blackhawks game? No, wait. Are they out there? No, are they here? Or they're there. Where
yeah,
are
they're
they?
There. They're there.
They're there. I need you on my breath. What are we listening to, Earl?
This is the Bones of J.R. Jones. Playing Shubas this Sunday at 8.
The Bones of J.R. Jones at Shubas. Violetta's in transit to the remote, so let's you and I just run through some fun things to do this weekend. The Dragon Lights Festival is that collection of things you see on the north parking lot by Soldier Field. It's going on the north parking lot, $13 to $20, $45 for a family pack. It features 39 larger-than-life lighted displays by Chinese artisans, giant dragons and wheels and whatnots. It's an amazing thing to drive by. They light it up at night, and you can find out more at DragonLightsChicago.com. What do you got?
The Comic Convention and Entertainment Expo runs today through Sunday at McCormick Place. Tickets range from $30 to $75 at C2E2.com.
C2E2.com, that's a big one. Kent County Flea Market, did you hear this on WGN Radio? St. Charles, tomorrow and Sunday. Not an ideal weekend for that, but it's $5 a day for those 12 and up. I've been there many, many times. Kent County's up and running this weekend. What have you got?
It's Family Day at the Lyric Opera tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Bacon Fest at the UIC Forum tonight through Saturday night. Tickets are $60 to $85 at BaconFestChicago.com. Go to that and then go to the Wellness Expo and Rejuvenation Crawl at A.N. Pritzker School from 10 to 6 on Sunday. Tickets for that are a lot less, $5 and $10 at WickerParkBucktown.com. Elif, give us one more fun thing to do.
No Limits Music Festival at Logan Square Auditorium tomorrow. $30 tickets at otrnolimits.com.
I'll throw this in, too. Our friend Mark Baser's show is at The Hideout. He's on TV tonight, and he's at The Hideout this evening. I don't know if you're going to get in the door. Gillian Flynn is there, Eve Ewing, Daniel Krause tonight. He's got a good show lined up. He told me off the air today that the show is sold out, but online it says you can buy tickets at the door. You take your chances on that. It's $15 if you can get into The Hideout to see Mark Baser's always funny and interesting show. Let's do the bright side. You need to call in right now, 312-981-7200. Call 312-981-7200 and tell me some good news in your world. We'll do a shorter version of this, but boy, do we need you to call or text with your bright side as we finish our fun things to do in the Chicago area. We do this on Fridays.
Some things in life are bad.
It's sponsored today.
They can really make you mad.
By the Joint Relief Institute.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Thank you, JRI.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
Get wetty.
And this'll help things
sing
turn
it home
out.
If you know the words. The song goes like...
Always look on the bright side.
Marsha Lyles normally comes down from WGN Radio Sales. She couldn't join us. Violetta helps out in that capacity. She's on the road. So it's you and me, Steve Bertrand, Elif will answer your calls when you call 312-981-7200.
Something you forgot.
All right, Steve, what's your bright side, Steve Bertrand?
I'm heading to Oxford, Ohio tomorrow to watch the Sketched Out Improv Troupe tomorrow night.
Oh, anybody in there you're looking forward to seeing?
A guy named Noah Bertrand is pretty funny.
I got family coming into town, actually, today. We're going to see them on Sunday through next week. Those will be good times.
Always look on the bright side of life.
But nothing can top this. Hey, Leslie, it's John. What's your bright side?
Hey, John. I have the most beautiful bathroom that I have wanted since I bought this house in 2004. I finally got enough money to get it done, and it is gorgeous.
So always look on the bright side.
How can you top that? Hey, Carl, it's not a competition. You're on WGN. Carl, what's your bright side?
Hey, John, if you're looking for a little peace, a little serenity in this crazy mixed-up world, I went to go see a Chinese performance of Shen Yun last night.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Really nice, John.
Yeah,
real
where is that again? I saw the ads for that.
Well, it started at Rosemont Theater recently. That's done. It's at Paramount Theater, and then it goes to the Harris Theater in the very near future, and then it's ba-boom, gone.
So it's in Aurora right now, huh?
Right now, yeah.
How about that? Nice to hear, Carl.
Dumps.
Thank you.
Be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle.
Talk to me, Pat. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
The bright side is going over to my dad's house to celebrate his birthday today.
Hey, what a good guy you are, Pat. Happy birthday to him for us, okay?
I will. Thanks.
On the bright side of life.
Hey, Jeff, why are you smiling? You're on the air.
Hey, John. I'm smiling because it's my daughter Audrey's fifth birthday today, and my wife Kristen and I have been out lunch, getting her a present, things like that in Oak Brook. So we're having a really good day with our five-year-old daughter who's going to be in kindergarten in August.
So you got to get in all of these good times before you send her off to school in August.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, what a nice day for you guys. Thanks for the call. It's good to hear.
Oh,
I wish my mom and dad would take me out and go shopping on my birthday, take me to lunch, and then go to the stores. I could get whatever I want. We do that now, but I'm doing the buying. Lori, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Lori? What's your good news?
My husband and I are on our way to the Blackhawks game from Galesburg, Illinois.
Oh, awesome. You know, Violetta's going to be out there, and Kevin and Ro and Anna will be out there, too. So if you see them, wave and say hi.
Can we give a shout-out to Adam Phillips?
Sure. Who's Adam Phillips?
He's your producer.
Oh, you mean the engineer. Oh, Adam. Oh, how do you know Adam?
My husband's friends with him.
Ah, I got it. Have a great trip. Have a great game. Yeah, he's working a couple of shifts. He did our show yesterday out at Sox Park. Pete, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Pete?
John, I decided to get rid of all the negativity in my life. So I decided to stop talking to myself.
Always look on the right side of life.
Donna, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. We just found out that my son and his wife and their two kids are coming to visit us this summer. And so we're just really excited about that.
We do this on Fridays. We ask you to just tell us some good news, big or small. And let's all share a group hug on the radio. I love the bright side. It was shorter today, but we'll make plenty of time for it tomorrow. And to those of you that texted, I have the list. I'm going to read it on my show tomorrow. I'm on from 10 to noon. So an extended dance version tomorrow, a little after 10. It's 2:57. This is WGN. Ro and Anna and the gang. Hey, guys, are you ready to roll out there?
We haven't. Could not be possibly more ready to roll than we are currently.
We are so ready.
There's readiness. There's rolling. There's everything. And, you know, John, generally, about this time of the day here at the United Center, because the gates are not yet open and the place is coming alive. It's lighting up. There's, you know, all the vendors are getting into position and they're cooking stuff. And there's gigantic
tubes of popcorn.
Yes, things being moved on dollies, and there's at least one gigantic crash.
Oh.
Just like that.
Classic.
In the 3 o'clock hour. 3 to 4, you can hear anything happen. Sometimes like an Abrams tank comes rumbling through the concourse.
The car already drove through, right?
Yeah,
it's the Chevy?
The Camaro.
Looks good.
I just want to applaud the kind of production values that this show brings.
Thank you.
The radio. I mean,
that was old school sound effects right
yep,
there.
That
yeah,
was
an actual live sound.
That happened
effect.
Live, people. That was not an accident. That wasn't pre-recorded.
No, that was that's how we did. That's how we do it.
Going to bat for you. Mm-hmm. All right, what's the highlight going to be today, Ro?
Well, we got a couple actually today. Michael Steele's going to join us. We're also going to get you caught up on your money. Susie Sunshine will be here. Lester Holt will be here. We have our last visit of the Hawks season with Chef Mike, but our first visit of the Sox season with Chef Mike, because he does both stadiums. And then, this is very interesting, and actually very heartwarming. Jane and Meg Makeda and Charlie, Stan's grandson, are going to be here, and they're honoring Stan Makeda tonight at the United Center. And this, they do a one more shift where they have, you know, the greats come out onto the ice and skate one more shift and during the warm-ups. And obviously Stan cannot do that, but Charlie, his grandson, is going to do it in his stead.
How really old is Charlie?
Cool is that?
Do you know? You got a ballpark on that?
That's going to be at 6:30 tonight.
6:30 this evening. Oh, what a nice feature! And I heard Steve talk just a little bit about that, but I didn't know all of the backstory on that. That's great.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool stuff. So, you know, the Hawks always do it right, and this is an early exit, and we're not happy about it, but we're very hopeful that. This is a temporary setback.
Well, we got a little, I don't want to say greedy there, because we earned every victory that we had in every Stanley Cup, and there's no reason they can't be there again next year. I'm looking forward to next season, that's for sure. Last home game is tonight. You guys have a real good show.